So breakthrough faith. Breakthrough faith. This has certainly been a real journey, certainly for myself and for Annette, but certainly as I've been preparing these messages and really seeking God, saying, God, what is it? What is actually breakthrough faith? What does it look like? What does it look like for us living today? Because sometimes we get these big visions of what breakthrough looks like. But you know, sometimes it's just the simplest of things as well, where we just get that breakthrough there. God wants us to live our lives seeing breakthrough come. God wants us to live lives where we can believe that things are possible because God is with us. Things are possible. Living our lives with a belief that we can break through. And we're going to be discovering why we can believe that we can have a breakthrough. As I've said, that many of us, we live our lives with that invisible ceiling over our lives where we feel we can't do this, we can't get through that. We are never going to break through the fear or the worry or the anxiety. But let me tell you, with Jesus in our life, with his help, with his strength, we can. And for us, it's not that God is going to break. Sometimes we have to take that step of faith and walk through the fear. Worship God even when we're anxious or worried. That is a breakthrough. When you are just facing some tough stuff and you come on a Sunday or you stand in your home or sit in your home and you worship Jesus, I believe that is a breakthrough for you. Many of us feel stuck. Stuck in our life, not seeing a way forward. There are many phrases that describe this same predicament. Maybe you feel you're one of these, between a rock and a hard place. No way forward, no way back. No way forward, no way back. In a jam, I'm in a pickle. Have you heard that one? Backed into a corner. Backed into a corner. I'm just at a dead end. I'm just at a dead end. There's no way forward for me. A catch 22. I'm at the end of my rope. Have you heard that phrase? There are barriers to breakthrough, but it's going to take breaking through the barriers where we will see more freedom, I believe, come to our lives. And you know, all over, I was just reading some stories there of people who broke through. Just some of the mental mindsets that they had. Michael Jordan. Anyone heard of Michael Jordan? There wanted to make a career out of basketball. No coach would give him a chance. They said he was too short, would never make it in basketball. And after using an inside connection to get into a basketball camp from which players for college teams were chosen, Jordan was noticed by a coach who still chose not to invite him to a team. So he saw him but thought he's not going to amount to much. How wrong were they? Walt Disney, fired by a newspaper for being not creative enough. Goodness me. His Mickey Mouse cartoons were rejected because they were deemed, fired by a newspaper for not being creative enough, and later his Mickey Mouse cartoons were rejected because they were deemed too scary for the women. Wow. And that wasn't enough because even then, the Three Little Pigs was also turned down because it only had four characters, not enough characters, so it was going to be a flop. First screen test for the one and only Fred Astaire, as they just reported, okay, you can't sing, you can't act, you're slightly bald, you're not handsome, but you can dance a little, Fred Astaire. Rejected from the School of Theater, Film, and Television three times. Steven Spielberg eventually got into another college, and then he dropped out as well from that before finishing his degree. And so he decided 35 years later that he would give it another try. And he got his degree. Van Gogh sold only one painting, and it was to a friend for very little money. That was in his lifetime. Sadly, he never did taste success during his short life, and sometimes he didn't even taste food because he was a starving artist. But what now today? His paintings are selling for millions all over the world. And you know, for many of us here, I believe you have had things spoken over your life. You can't do that. You won't amount to much. You won't make it there. And the question is, are we going to believe those mindsets and those words that are spoken over our lives and just be bound and restricted by them? Or are you going to be someone who has that desire that no matter what people say, that you are going to break through those fears and those words that have broken over us? Some of the words over me: Stephen, your life, all you're going to amount to is average. Average. All through my schoolwork, average, 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 average. I wasn't at the bottom, was never going to make the top, just average. And you know, as I grew in my Christian life, all I believed was I was just going to be an average Christian. And that I wouldn't really amount to much. Not that I'm trying to make a name for myself, because Jesus is the one that's glorified. But when I gave my life to Christ, he opened up a whole new world for me. He gave me the strength. He helped me press through the fears. He helped me shake off those words spoken over us, over me, and seeing God do amazing things in my life. Breaking through, I can't speak. I am afraid of speaking. I wasn't wanting to become a minister because you had to preach, and there was no way on this earth I was speaking, because I couldn't do it. I was a shy, introverted, scared young man who felt wasn't going to amount to much. Now, you can't get me sharp. But God, when God takes hold of a life, I believe we can break through some of the mindsets in our life. Fear, apathy, indifference. What is the one thing that you can do to begin the journey of seeing breakthrough come in your life? It starts with one thing, one decision in your life. The good news is that we don't have to do it in our own strength. We have someone with us who can help us in our walk. And Peter, it talks about God has given us everything that we need to live our lives in a godly way. So we're going to read Micah chapter 2, verse 13. One verse. Micah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "Then I, God, will burst all confinements." I think that's the Message version. "Will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them." Wow. Out in the front leading them. The New Living Translation says, "Your king will break out," or "your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities, back to your own land. Your king will lead you out. The Lord himself will guide you." The Lord himself will guide you. Micah, they're a contemporary of Isaiah. So Micah was bringing the word of God. Isaiah was bringing the word of God. In the mix somewhere was Hosea. Hosea was called to bring a message from God to the northern kingdom. the kingdom of God, or the 12 tribes of Israel were split into 10 and 2. 10 tribes became Israel, 2 tribes became Judah. Judah was in Jerusalem, Israel was in Samaria, and so Hosea was there bringing a message to the northern kingdom, Israel. And here we have Isaiah and Micah bringing a message to Jerusalem, to Judah, about returning to God. There was judgment coming. As you go into the book of Micah, judgment was coming because of the idolatry of Israel and Judah. You know, even as Jerusalem and Judah, they saw the enemy coming, the Assyrians coming to the northern kingdom. This is what happens when you desert God, that you turn away from God. Hopefully, surely, as Judah saw what can happen when you turn away from God, that they would change. But they didn't. They continued disobeying God. They forsake the devotion to God. And so judgment was coming to them in the form of the Babylonians. And so judgment was going to be happening. But Micah was calling the people back to a right living for God. He was a prophet of God. The call today, I believe, is a call to live our lives righteous. Live our lives the way God is calling us to live our lives. And you know, when we step out of that living for God, I believe we open our lives up to all sorts of judgment, all sorts of things, the enemy that would come, footholds of the enemy, strongholds of the enemy. And you know, God loves us. He loves us. His love will never stop. His love will never stop. And sometimes we can bask in that. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me no matter what I do. God still loves me. But let me tell you, if we continue sinning, God will have something to say. And God does have something to say to our lives when we continually and habitually sin and not confess our sin and ask God to forgive us. Will we get perfect in our living for God? No way. There is no one here perfect. We will mess up. We will trip up at times. But thank God that we can come and say, Father, would you forgive me? I've messed up. I receive your forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Micah was bringing a message of hope. And that is for the word of God. As much as we see all the judgments coming, these men and women who were bringing the word of God and saying judgment is coming, but there was always hope because God was wanting to bless. God is wanting to pour out his grace and his mercy upon our lives. Anyone awake here, anyone actually believe this is good news? I'm just checking that you're not sleeping. I don't miss anyone sleeping. So Micah understood the times that he was living in. Micah understood what needed to be done. Micah understood the need for his nation to repent and turn from their wicked ways. It says in Chronicles that the men of Issachar had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And I believe today, there is, I believe, a prophetic call. There is a call for us to understand just the times that we are living in today. And one of the things I have sensed in my heart, in my life, in my spirit, is that these are urgent times. We are in the last days. We are in the last days. Yes, we've been in the last days since the New Testament. Do you know, in Romans chapter 13, your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. There's going to come a day when we will all stand before God and give an account for our lives. We are in the last days, and we have a world out there who are going to a lost eternity, who are, yes, look like they have no regard for Jesus. And yes, you may feel that. You may feel the prejudice. I don't think we are being persecuted. I think there's a great prejudice against the Christian faith. It may look like the world is going haywire, and it is. You may look as if, or it may look as if people are not even interested in Jesus Christ. But I want to say, God is working and moving in this city. God is working and moving in this city. There is hope. There is hope. So when you see darkness, let me tell you, light is in the city. How do you know that, Stephen? Because you're there. Because you carry the light of Jesus. You carry that hope that Jesus can change lives. That you don't have to be in that cycle of depression and sin and failure. But when God gets a hold of your life and you get a hold of Him and stay with Him and not bail out, then you will see change come to your life. Micah, as he's bringing that word of hope, as he's saying that, yes, because the prophets were saying to the people, judgment is not going to come. Don't listen to Micah. Don't believe what he's saying. It's not all about judgment and that. God still loves you. God's still there with you. The prophets were bringing false testimony. Just like Jeremiah, when the prophets were saying, it's okay, we're only going to be here for a short time. Don't worry, God is going to take us back. We're going to be in captivity for just a short period of time. And Jeremiah comes and says, by the way, start to make houses, start to make jobs, because you are going to be here a long time. You are going to be here a while, because it's all in God's timing. And Micah was looking down the corridors of time, and he saw a time when someone would come, a king, who would lead them out, who would lead people into the promises of God. His name was Jesus. 700 years before Christ, Micah was saying, but you, Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are from ancient times, will come from you on behalf of my people. 700 years, Micah saw a man, Jesus, the Messiah, who would come. And I believe as you read Micah, you also see that it's not just this time, but it also talks about the future when Jesus will come back again and rule and reign for all eternity. I am so glad I am a Christian today. I am so glad. God delivered Israel from the hands of Egypt through Moses. Moses was called to lead his people out. God led them out. God would fight their battles. God would lead them into the promised land through Moses and then Joshua, who took them across. God will get the glory. God is the one who brings the breakthrough. What did God do? A pillar of fire to protect them from the enemy. You know, opening the Red Sea to deliver them. There was people who were between a rock and a hard place, because here they came before the Red Sea after leaving Egypt. And behind them was the Egyptians, who decided, no, we're not going to let you go. We want you back. And so they were pursuing the Israelites, and they were between a rock and a hard place. And the people, what were they doing? They were crying out to God. Moses was crying out to God until God says, stop your crying and just lift up that staff and see God working. You know, even the people were saying, maybe we shouldn't have left Egypt. Maybe we should have just stayed. The onions and the food that they gave us, it was all right. But it's a lot better than this. And you know, again, for some of our lives, we settle just for the good. Or just, well, that'll do. Yeah. But I want to say, God has so much more for your life. God has so much more for your life. And it's not the new Mercedes car. It's not that prosperity stuff where name it, claim it, grab your Mercedes. God has so much more. Yes, God blesses us financially. God blesses our family. God blesses our lives in so many ways. And God wants you to walk in the promises of God that He will never leave you nor forsake you. You may need peace this morning. That's all you need. Maybe that's what you need. And God is saying, Jesus, my son, is the Prince of Peace. He is your strength. He is that bread of heaven, the bread of life that you can feed on every single day. God went before them. Do you know, it's when, I believe, we are in tight spaces, when we are faced with situations, when we come between that rock and a hard place, when we come to that dead-end street, that we decide, what am I going to do? Who am I going to trust? Am I going to turn back? Sometimes it takes tight places to break us free from the thought patterns and the way we've always dealt with situations, to break free from that and do something different. To trust God. To trust God. Maybe this morning God's got you in a tight space. I call it hemmed in. I don't like using the word trapped. But maybe this morning God has got you hemmed in because you have been trying to figure everything out about your life, how to fix things, how to break through. And maybe God has got you hemmed in because He is wanting you to look to Him, to believe in Him, to trust Him, not your bank account, not your friends. Yes, thank God for friends. But maybe He's wanting you to trust Him. When you are backed into a corner, the only thing that we can do is look up. Is look up. Look up. When you are between that rock and a hard place, all we can do is to look up and trust in a God who is the God of the breakthrough. Micah saw Jesus, the Messiah, who would be the breakthrough. He is the breaker. He's the one who breaks through. He is the one who has broken through the power of sin and death. We celebrated it this morning. Jesus conquered the enemy. The enemy is defeated. The enemy is defeated. The Messiah was going to come. He would lead the way from victory to victory. Breathe. Breathe. Jesus, I just say, all you need this morning is to trust Jesus. Yeah. Or what you need is to trust Jesus. Red seas only open at God's command. Not Charlton Heston as he played Moses. Moses never opened it. He obeyed God and just held his staff over there. God opened the sea. And I believe God will open the way for you, for your breakthrough, because Jesus is, He is the breaker anointer, anointing. Isaiah 61, we all know it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released, prisoners will be free. Jesus quoted these same verses when He stood in the temple and got them into trouble. Because He says, for this day, the day, this is being fulfilled. Who do you think you are, Jesus? But he is the one who sets captives free. He has the anointing. And I believe as believers, we have that anointing of God upon our lives. And I believe in these days, we are going to see, and this is a step of faith, we are going to see an increase of miracles, supernatural miracles. Well, miracles are supernatural. As we lay hands on people and we will see them being made well. As we bring that good news, you know, your neighbor who you have been witnessing to for months, even years, who is just keeps saying, I'm not interested. One day, as you say, would you like to come to church? Yes. Okay. What? Yes. So there is no one that is too hard or out of reach of God's hand. All can be reached. But we have to pray. We have to pray. Jesus is the one who breaks through. Jesus is the one who breaks through, and we have to trust him. So whatever situation you are facing, remember, Jesus is the one who breaks through. And you have to take that step through. Is this all right? Proclaim the good news. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives. Release from darkness for the prisoners. Then I, God, as we read there, will burst all confinements and lead you out into the open. You will follow your king. I will be out in front leading you. Jesus is before us. Jesus is before us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. A procession of triumph that Christ will lead. Do you know, in Roman times, when Roman soldiers conquered a city, and before they got the procession, normally, if I'm reading right, they would normally have to conquer at least 5,000 people there in a town or a city or whatever it would be. And then the emperor or the general would come on his horse and his chariots with his men walking behind him. And everyone in Rome would be just celebrating the procession. It was a triumph. Victory had been won, and there was celebration there. And we have Jesus who has gone before us. He is the one who has conquered, and we get to walk behind him and go, yes, we have the victory. Why? Because he has won the victory. He has won the victory. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that fought the battle. And Jesus is the one that overcame. And I believe as we are connected to Christ, as we are one with Christ, that we have that same power over sin. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. Thank you, Sandy. Is living in you. Turn to someone beside you and say, the Holy Spirit's in you. No, you need to turn to them and say, no, you never heard me right. The Holy Spirit's in you. Come on, tell them. Because you need to start believing these things. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is in me. And you know, the more that I would say that, you know, the more that I have read that, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Do you know, our feeble minds, I believe, can't comprehend just the depth of that. We have the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. On that day when you face your Maker, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yes, we will have to give an account for the things in our life. We will have to, as leaders, as pastors, give an even greater account. We will be held more accountable, which says to me, you have to be careful how you live your life. Jesus, our commander in chief, He is the one who has won the victory. And you know, we face many battles. We face battles of fear and worry. Anyone face battles of fear and worry? We do. Anxiousness. I fought it for years. Sometimes fear still tries to creep in. But we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. You know, it says the original words of fear and or worry is to choke or strangle. You know, the enemy wants to choke the life out of you. And Jesus is the life, and He can fill you with life. Do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God will flood your heart and mind. Negativity. I believe that's another battle we face. Or we call them negative Nancys. Sorry, any people called Nancy in here? No. But just negative. You ever met those people, negative? Oh, glorious weather today. Yeah, but it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Oh, things are really good at the moment. Yeah, but if you're anything like me, things are going to turn and make it bad. You know, just negativity. I can't do it. You won't do it. You know, I'm sure you, as we have, had many negative words spoken over us, as is positive words. But what's the words that seem to hold more ground as those negative words? And you know, in Christ, we can overcome. We can overcome apathy. Apathy. I believe there's a real apathy within the body of Christ today. That indifference to the urgency of the times. You know, I'm going to be speaking probably in the autumn about the seven letters to the churches in Revelation. And one of them that talks about being lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And Jesus talking about spewing you out of my mouth. I mean, Jesus who loves us and cares for us, and here He is in Revelation talking about spewing you out of my mouth, spewing lukewarm water. Do you know, I believe the church has to waken up. The church has to waken up. Waking up to prayer, waking up to the need to be speaking about Jesus and letting the words of Jesus, letting the message of Jesus reach people, even if they don't want to hear it. You know, the thing with Micah was, as he brought that message, in Micah it talks about a remnant. It talks about a remnant. And even though the people of God were turning away from God, it looked as if all was turning away from God. But God talks about a remnant, and because of the remnant, God would bring the deliverer. Because of a remnant. And I believe we need a bigger remnant. Men and women who live their lives close to God as possible, who will say, "I will not bail out. I will stay focused. I will stay devoted to Jesus Christ." Sadly, many Christians have walked away. They've been hurt. They've been discouraged. They've been depressed. They've been, and that is people that's been hurt by the church. Father, forgive us. We have taken our eyes off of God, and our eyes are on ourselves about what we want. And one of the things I have discovered, sorry, I'm not on a high horse. I will get off in a minute. I have came across many people who have an opinion. You know, when we came to Dundee, we had so many people giving us an opinion of how church should be run, where it should be run, how we should run it, what we shouldn't be doing, what we should be doing. And I believe we are living in times, we all have an opinion. We all have an opinion. You may go out that door this morning and you will have an opinion about the sermon or the worship. But God doesn't want our opinion. He wants our obedience. He wants our obedience. Fear and worry, negativity, apathy. Why dream? Because dreams don't happen. Why get your hopes up? Because they're always dashed. That is the negativity of our lives. But faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Today, as we get ready to close, will you be confident in God's promises? Will you be confident in His Word? And for many of us, we need to get into the Word of God. We need to find out what God is saying, not just knowing what God is saying, but who God is. Jesus is the Word. Will you begin just to believe that things can change, that you can have a breakthrough? And that may take you coming before God in your house saying, Jesus, would you help me just believe that breakthrough can come for me? And just listening to what God is saying. But we can have faith in the one who breaks through. His name is Jesus. He's done it and He will do it again. He's done it and He will do it again. Even for healing. Do you know, again, for Annette and I, Annette's health, tenacious and believing God for breakthrough. Has it happened yet? No. Yeah, it will. We are believing because God is a healer. Jesus is our healer. And Joe, for many of us, we have given God, I'll give you 2 months, God, and I'll see if things change. In fact, I'm going to be generous. I'll give you 3 months. And we persevere for 3 months, and nothing seems to be happening, and so we bail out. It's not working. It's not working. But the remnant, no matter what is going on round about us, there is a resolve that we will keep focused, that we will keep our hearts right, that we will keep worshiping Jesus, that we will keep being trusting in Him, that we will keep believing that He is the God of the breakthrough. Yeah. Things can and will turn around for us. Hallelujah. I've said enough. Time to shut up. I'm going to ask the band to come back.